It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In the past week, Dollar Bank has moved to foreclose on the August Wilson Center for African American Culture and have the building sold at sheriff sale. The center ended fiscal 2013 with a $1.8 million budget deficit. Experts say the August Wilson Center is on the ropes, and members of the community are asking if a revival of the center is possible. Today, we're discussing how the August Wilson Center got into this mess and whether a revival is possible. I'm joined now in Studio A by Mark Clayton Southers, former artistic director of the theater initiative at the August Wilson Center. Mark Clayton Southers, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Charlie Humphrey, CEO and executive director of Pittsburgh Filmmakers, Pittsburgh Center for the Arts. He is also a member of the WESA Board of Directors. Charlie Humphrey, good to have you back with us.
Thanks, Paul. It's good to be back.
We attempted to contact a representative from the August Wilson Center to join us on this program, but did not receive a response. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call with your comments or questions, 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Mark Clayton Southers, let me begin with you. What went wrong at the August Wilson Center?
I think it would have. And first of all, I'm not an official spokesperson for August Wilson Center. These are only my views and my opinions only. I think it was the doom loomed from the very beginning with the overcost and the construction phase. It happened during a time where the prices fluctuated, and they had a debt from the beginning, a very substantial debt. And I think that, you know, the promise of having a center in the cultural center, African-American cultural center, the promise of it and the pride of it was the riding, you know, everybody wrote in that emotion, you know. But, the base of it, the debt, was just looming. I mean, to bring, you know, they brought Andre Guess into town and they basically put $11 million noose around his neck, you know, and he had to carry that weight to try to make it work. And that's something that is difficult for any organization to do. Doesn't, you know, it's just the reality of it. So that's the problem. It's all about money. That's what it really comes to. It's not so much mismanagement. I mean, some of the things that probably were done to keep the doors open, the place would have been in a situation it's in now a long time ago had they not have done different things to try to keep operating. So that's the big problem. It's all about money.
So you're saying these problems came up at the outset. So what could have been done differently 4 years ago when the August Wilson Center for African American Culture opened? What was there a different approach that needed to be taken, and what was it?
Well, I mean, you know, in hindsight, I would say reaching out on the national level, even the international level, and fundraising. You know, you have to raise more money. It's as simple as that. That's what it comes down to. I mean, folks who operate professionally have the resources to pay people a professional rate and get things done professionally. But when you're wearing three or four different hats because you're not financially capable of hiring the amount of people who need to get things done, you're going to have situations like this.
So it sounds like the folks at the AWC were kind of up against it from the beginning. What were the things that they needed to be aware of, prepared for, and if more money was needed, how much money did they need, and how and what could it have been used for?
Well, I don't know the ins and outs of all the financials at the center. Mm-hmm. I was tuned into the artistic side of things. But it goes back.
Well, as the former artistic director,
right.
Were there things that you needed that you maybe were not that were not adequately funded?
I think it was funded adequately. I don't think it was distributed adequately. You know, Greer and Seal and I, we relied on a lot of our contacts and our friends to do favors for us. You know, because the funding just wasn't there to pay people on the level. I mean, we've done that, but there's been a lot of times within the season where we had to ask for favors and get things done. And that's just the reality of it. And it's not a swipe at anybody. It's just the reality of where we were at in the moment, you know, trying to make it work, you know. And I think we did some really good programming on a shoestring budget, you know. I think we did some great programming. But, you know, like I said, folks were wearing two or three different hats, And that can be taxing on individuals.
Charlie Humphrey, as someone who has run arts organizations and is running one now, what are the challenges that you face?
Well, in a situation like this where an organization is carrying considerable debt, it's very hard to raise money because nobody wants to fund debt. They want to fund programming. They want to fund capital. That's one of the great challenges. I think it's important in situations like this to try to open the tent as much as possible and be as inclusive as possible with the community and share as much of what is going on with others and invite them to own it. And that's a difficult thing to do.
You have been in a situation where you've overseen an organization that has taken on debt. How did you handle that?
Well, I've done it twice. Once was with the Pittsburgh Center for the Arts, which is now a part of Pittsburgh Filmmakers. We've merged with them. But we were at Filmmakers invited to come in and help them after they had closed their doors. They had over $1 million in debt, and there was no programming except a little bit of exhibition stuff that was being handled by volunteers. Our plan in that situation, as well as with the Pittsburgh Glass Center, which I got involved with a few years ago, is to not think about raising money, but to think about buying time and really looking at the situation, owning it. So instead of going to funders and saying, can you bail us out? Can you get us out of this? What we did in both of those situations was we said, here is our plan to get out of this. This is how we plan to generate more earned revenue than we are now. If we're starting with earned revenue of X over time, we will get to earned revenue X plus whatever or X times whatever. So when you go to funders then, we're not saying retire the debt for us or bail us out of this, buy us time so that we can enact a plan of our own invention.
Is with the economic downturn that occurred, the whole financial crisis that happened in 2008 and that we're still digging ourselves out from it, it's all arts organizations have taken a hit. Is it a particularly difficult time now, a difficult time in which to be an arts-based organization?
Oh, there's no question, and it's affected everybody, absolutely everybody, from the very largest organizations down to organizations with budgets of $200,000 and less. But it's always a struggle. I mean, we can look at 2008 and say, wow, we really got whacked there. But everybody did, and very much to the benefit of the community. I think individuals recognize that. Certainly the foundation community recognized that. I think there were extraordinary measures taken, even though endowments within the private foundation community had been hit pretty hard. I think they did everything that they could. I think a lot of credit also goes to the Regional Asset District, which has been a mainstay supporter with precious general operating funding for dozens of small arts organizations. We live in a great community, a very supportive community. I mean, if the August Wilson Center can pull out, it's in the best city for it.
What can arts organizations, what is a good plan of action for an arts organization simply to stay afloat? Maybe just not necessarily in these financially challenging times, but in any time.
Well, you have to look, if at all possible, you really have to look at earned revenue opportunities. And different types of organizations have different types of earned revenue opportunities. So if you're a performing arts organization, you have a much better opportunity to maximize that revenue stream than, say, a gallery where if you're charging at all, you're charging, $5, which is not even going to light the lights, much less cover all the other overhead. So in those cases, you hope to, for example, create a collector's mentality where people are buying work, and a small public gallery might then function as a kind of art dealer. That's one way of doing it. Another very well-known way of doing it are education programs. Education programs can be a great source of earned revenue, and they also help to advance not only the mission of the organization, but if they're for children, you're building future constituents, future users, and future supporters. So an education program really can play three roles. One, it serves the mission. Number two, it's a kind of marketing device. But number three, it really is establishing the future, the future of the organization. So it's money and PR.
It's a sustainable plan.
Very.
We're talking about the problems faced by the August Wilson Center, which is facing foreclosure, and what it can do to solve its problems going forward and stay afloat. Our guest joining us in Studio A, Mark Clayton Southers, former Artistic Director of the Theater Initiative at the August Wilson Center, and Charlie Humphrey, CEO and Executive Director of Pittsburgh Filmmakers and Pittsburgh Center for the Arts. If you have a comment or question, if you would like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. We're coming up to a break, but it is a good time to get on the line. We'd like to definitely engage the public in this discussion of the August Wilson Center for African American Culture, a very important entity in the city of Pittsburgh. Our email address, essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What are your recommendations? What concerns do you have about the future of the August Wilson Center? 412-246-2002, the number to call. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh here on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are discussing the problems facing the August Wilson Center for African American Culture in Pittsburgh. Within the past week or so, Dollar Bank has moved to foreclose on the August Wilson Center. And as of the end of fiscal 2013, the August Wilson Center was facing a $1.8 million budget deficit. Certainly, the AWC is on the ropes, and the question is whether members of the community can help the center rally and revive itself going forward. We're talking about this with Mark Clayton Southers, former Artistic Director of the Theater Initiative at the August Wilson Center, and also with us here in Studio A, Charlie Humphrey, CEO and Executive Director of Pittsburgh Filmmakers, Pittsburgh Center for the Arts. He's also a board member, a member of the WESA Board of Directors. And we are inviting you to join the conversation with your questions and comments at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, essspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Mark Clayton Southers, we looked at what went wrong and what could have been done differently. Hindsight always 20/20. But we spent a good part of our first segment hashing over those things. And so now it's time to look forward to solutions that might help the August Wilson Center in the future. As far as you're concerned, as someone who worked in that building, what needs to be done?
Well, there's so many different situations. But like I said, the root of everything is the financials, is the money. You know, with the proper funds, you know, you can get a lot of things done. I think Charlie brought up a good point about folks being apprehensive to put money into a sinking ship or, you know, a hole. But I think the foundations have really done their share. They've went beyond. They've done a lot. The corporations have done a lot initially. I think that their investment needs to be secured, and I think it's going to – I hate to say it, but you have to go back to them to probably make that happen. It's not going to happen by the community. And we're not Chicago. We're not Philadelphia. We're not Atlanta. We don't have a large population of affluent African-Americans who can write checks like some folks in the white community that can write a check for $50,000 here and there, but are willing to. Those type of things have to happen over time. But I think the – corporations in town, I mean, if it's managed properly, I think the corporations can get involved to try to help retire that debt. And I know it sounds like reparations, or I don't know how it's going to come across to folks or whatever, but I think it's possible. I know I think outside the box, you know, but the reality is we have a very strong corporation center here in Pittsburgh. And the foundations, I think the foundations, the money they put in toward programming stuff, that stuff can be realized if that debt wasn't there. I mean, the type of money that they were putting in for programming was very substantial, enough to bring world-class folks into town, which in turn will draw audiences downtown. But it's hard to get there with that looming debt. So I think it needs to be something sort of like the Day of Giving that they did yesterday, but something on a more broader scale, even on a national level, you know, getting in touch with the Oprahs and the Tyler Perrys and the Bill Cosbys and the folks and the Felicia Rashads, folks who have an interest in preserving the legacy of August Wilson. And then all these type of things can start happening. But it's just really – it's like walking around carrying a boulder on your back. It's really hard to – you know, walk around and then walk out on the stage and sing a song, you know, after you just climbed up, you know, a gigantic mountain with a boulder on your back. You know, I mean, that's just my favorite word. That's the reality of it.
So. And so you're saying that there's a financial angel out there, perhaps, that could rescue this.
Well, I mean, it's like a little bit here, a little bit there, but a multitude of folks doing it. And I think we owe it to the memory of August Wilson as Pittsburgh. We can't fail him. We can't fail his family. We can't fail his legacy. You know, a lot of folks say that he's one of the greatest playwrights in the world. You know, it's real simple. If you go to Samuel French and look under plays by different playwrights, you'll see a big fat 10 next to his name. You're not going to see that anywhere else in the book. So he's the greatest. If he was a Caucasian playwright, he would be called the greatest playwright in the world.
A prolific playwright.
American playwright.
One of the greatest American playwrights and someone who's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Has the center done enough to draw on his legacy, to point to his legacy?
I think that the idea to do it was there, but the distraction of the debt has been insurmountable. It's crazy. I mean, it's really hard to do that. I mean, we've done, you know, I know Tony Norman talked about no plays being done there, but people doing the research, they say there's been 5 August Wilson plays there. I did a production of Jim and the Ocean that was free to the public. We had over 1,400 people that came and showed up. You know, that's unheard of. But because it was free, you know, it didn't sit well with some folks, but for the community, it was great, you know.
So are there ways then that the August Wilson Center can better engage the community?
Oh, of course. What I would do, I would diversify like a portfolio. You know, I would have a third of the programming come from out of town, bringing things, because we love to see out of town, you know, international things and stuff on a national level. I would have a third of the programming be in-house, things that we create with local artists. And I would have a third of the programming be community driven, invite community groups to come in, and they will have so many dates that they can come in with hardly any overhead. But if there's a profit, then they, you know, they can get some subsidies, you know, to make it work.
Charlie Humphrey, I talked earlier about cited the figure of the deficit that the August Wilson Center faces at the end of fiscal 2013. They have a $1.8 million fiscal deficit. You took over an organization that had a $1 million budget deficit. So there are ways out of this.
There absolutely are, though I can't pretend that I've ever dealt with anything that was on this kind of a scale in terms of long-term debt. But there are a variety of ways of looking at it. And as I said earlier, earned revenue is a very important way to develop that kind of support. Also, we were talking during the break about special events. I think special events can go a long way to aiding to the bottom line, so long as it does not constitute mission drift. In other words, as long as you're not holding out programming that really serves the community in order to do a wedding, then you know those special events can be very effective. Plus, special events bring people into the facility who might not otherwise go there. So they get in there and think, wow, this is really cool. I'm coming back.
We have a comment from Tony in Aliquippa. He says, if they got the word out that it's not just for not just for the African-American community, and if they advertise it for a wider audience, they might get more support if it has a broader appeal. Mark, what about what Tony and Al Equipa is saying, and is it a matter of letting the public know that this it seems that people should get the idea that this is relevant to their lives, whether you're African American or not. But does an effort to spread that word, is that important?
I think Pittsburgh is polarized with black and white. I've certainly been a victim of it. I mean, that's just the reality. It's a white city, you know, and you know, I understand where he's coming from, but you know, folks get caught up in, you know, the whole race aspect, and people say different things or whatever. If you look at the history of the center and things have been done there, it's been inclusive of everyone. It's to promote African American culture, and I don't think that we should try to run from that. That's the reality of it. You know, if you look downtown, there aren't any African American businesses and things like that. I mean, I don't think we should have to say, "Oh, we're doing stuff for everybody, so come on down and support us." You know what I mean? There's no African American businesses downtown. You go to spend your money downtown, it's not going to make it back to Homewood or to the Hill District. You go to Squirrel Hill, the money's going to stay in the community. You go to Lawrenceville, it's going to stay in the community. And it's not playing a race card. It's talking about the truth and what's going on. I'm not disagreeing with his comment. I'm just saying that we get stuck on that. People can rent the space. The space does very good with rentals. It's a wonderful place. They've done some dynamic things in there with rentals. And you know, as far as programming, people can come down and rent the place and program what they want. As far as Pittsburgh Jazz Orchestra, it was totally a mixture that represented Pittsburgh's artists. The August Wilson Dance Ensemble totally showed Pittsburgh. When you look at that ensemble, you think Pittsburgh. You know, with the theater company we try to put together, it's the same thing, same situation. So I think a lot of people talk about what can be done, armchair quarterbacks and stuff like that. I'm not saying it in a bad way, but you really have to get down there and support and go to things.
And pay attention to
right. Like, and look at the
like
wonderful
the
exhibits.
The exhibit on the Nazi Olympics was very compelling.
Yes, Cecile did an excellent job with that, and it was a major exhibit. You know, it was major, and we had a guy in there from Germany who took people on tours and talked about the exhibit. And a lot of people, perception is a key indicator, keeping a lot of people at home in front of the computer, in front of the TVs. You have to, and I'm guilty of it myself. When I worked in a steel mill, I was out of the arts world for 18 years. I did theater in the evenings at my theater. But, you know, working at the Pittsburgh Courier, I was around the arts all the time. And then when I was at the August Wilson, I was back into it again. But you get removed from things as you get older, you know, like myself. You get removed. You get your comfort zones. There's a whole slew of younger folks out here that don't even think the way we think the older folks think. They're enjoying life. They're enjoying going to trails, going down to see the duck, you know, and doing different things. They're enjoying life. But, you know, some of the older folks, we get caught because of – you know, our memories of Pittsburgh and growing up, you know, once we got into the adult age, you know what I mean? So for an African-American man, it hasn't been a great experience, you know, with the Johnny Gammon situation and the different things that have happened. You know, it's become not so safe city anymore, you know what I mean? But that's a lot of places, you know. So I always find myself, why do I stay in Pittsburgh? And I don't want to get off the subject, but we have to break out of that and try to enjoy what's here for us, you know. And
I also think there's a mistake in attaching the identity of the place with the building itself. The August Wilson Center is really not a place. It's a concept. It's an idea and it's an ideal. We get caught up with the building because, A, it's the source of all that debt, and, B, it's so visual, it's so beautiful. But it's really I think it's important, and I hope this is supportive of what you're saying, Mark, that we think about what the actual purpose of it is, and then start to think about programming outside of the four walls of the building, taking the idea of promoting African-American culture and taking it to neighborhoods like Larimer and like Homewood, where I think and I'm not saying do this to the exclusion of the August Wilson Center, but I think that you can generate greater interest and greater buy-in if you go where people actually are.
Let's take a phone call from David in Pittsburgh. David, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, hi, this is Dave Cordova.
Yes, you're, you know, on, you're on with Mark Clayton Southers and Charlie Armstrong.
I don't even know how much debt he's talking about. How much debt is he talking about?
How much seven, debt is
seven
there?
$7 million now at this point. Seven.
$7 million, David.
What's that?
The figure is $7 million.
Oh, okay.
You got your checkbook out, Dave?
That's a challenge. But, you know, as an investor myself, I'm a very low-end investor. One of the things I ask is, what's in it for me? Only because, I mean, I'm just using it as a business model, regardless of what it is you do, is how does it benefit me and what's my return, you know, rather than, you know, I know it's a cultural thing and we all have that. It's your baby. I know it's your baby. You love it and you want it. But, you know, it's like, how much is it? It's an investment for me, and how much is it going to take care of the thing, you know? And, well, I just wanted to hear some more about, you know, that kind of issues, because it is an investment for anybody who donates or gives. And they're going to ask, well, what's in it for me? I know.
Right. David, your point is well taken, and that's something that any investor would ask. You know, one question that comes up as a result of what David just brought up is why haven't, you know, Mark, you mentioned some of the potential financial angels. Why haven't we seen people step up?
I think folks actually have stepped up. The level of the stepping up hasn't been quite as high, probably, but I know for us to, not I shouldn't say us, but for the center to survive as long as it has been, there's been folks, unnamed individuals who have written checks to keep things going. I've heard about things like that. But I think on a national level is what it needs to be. You know, I've talked about countless times about going out on the road and talking to the Wilsonian actors and the folks who have been made very lucrative paychecks doing August Wilson's work and doing films and things, and just never really got the green light to do that. But I think that's something that would need to happen, you know.
One final tweet I wanted to refer to from D.S. Kinsel. He asks, or she, is it the responsibility of the corporation/community to save the August Wilson Center? We've got less than a minute here, but Charlie,
it's everybody's responsibility. Yeah. I mean, it's too important to fail. It's everybody's responsibility.
Yeah. My reason for bringing up the corporations is that they have made an investment already in it, and I think that they can come in and retire that debt so that their initial investment will be realized and it won't be a loss. And it's not so much a challenge. It's a possibility. It's something that could happen. It wouldn't be hard to do at all. You know, you have people, these corporations making $4 million a year, you know, as CEOs. So, I mean, it's a possibility. I'm thinking outside the box, but it could be a reality.
That's Mark Clayton Southers, and also joining us, Charlie Humphrey, here in our studios, talking about the situation, the challenges facing the financially troubled August Wilson Center, and how they might be able to keep the doors open going forward to keep the events that we've all enjoyed seeing there continuing on and well on into the future. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh for this very important discussion.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, we'll meet Joe McHugh, who is keeping the art of storytelling alive. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.